Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one of these film ideas will be taken on to the next stage, where it will get to spend the next week in isolation with me. And as I've just been discussing with John, I've perfected a pretty good tomato sauce dish, so you're in for a treat. Sauce dish sounds like I'm just putting ketchup on a plate.
Yeah.
There's some truth in that. I'm Joel, a man who puts the erection in resurrection this Easter weekend. And across from me is John Harris, a man who very appropriately for the weekend now resembles an Easter egg having shaved his head bald. Hello, John.
I've still got the beard, so it's like in a nest.
It's in a little nest. Easter eggs don't have sweets in the middle anymore, do they?
Is that a health and safety thing? That is.
Yeah, maybe, because they were in little plastic packets.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember when you'd get sweets in the middle of an egg as a kid, you would be slightly disappointed about the plastic package. You were hoping it would crack open and just Smarties would just fall out.
Yeah, of course. That's what everyone dreams of. And the first time I imagine any kid sees an Easter egg, they imagine it's solid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Easter eggs are quite disappointing, really.
Yeah, I would say, broadly speaking...
Generally, not great chocolate.
Yep.
Nothing in the middle anymore. Mm. Not solid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, tempt fate or anything like this, but if I was going to miss a big Christian holiday as a result of isolation, much rather Easter over Christmas.
Oh, no one's picking Easter as their favourite Christian holiday. There's absolutely no one.
I'd have to say Easter.
Yeah, I love the hunts. I love going on an egg hunt. There's just not enough hunting at Christmas. Hey, John, we're not here to talk about Easter.
No.
There's other people doing that, I assume, on other big... Christian religious podcast. We're here to pitch some films. Would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
This is from Alfie. Trolls World Tour. A group of right-wing hate mongers stoke up global political tensions. Soundtrack by Justin Timberlake.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear he's getting work still.
It's got the same poppy sensibilities and bright colour palette, but it's mostly about trolls.
Yeah.
You know, QAnon, the other ones. The guys, the reply guys. You know, all the trolls.
What are the reply guys? What's this?
You know, just like guys that reply to tweets.
Fine.
You must have heard of reply guys.
Are those the people that, like, if a celebrity tweets, there's always, like, the same three people at the top replies because they just get in first?
It's normally, like, gross men.
Why do I know about this? It's probably a reply all episode, truth be told. But yeah, no, I'm vaguely aware of reply guys as a concept. So they go around the world. So in Trolls... They
don't know, mate. Trolls weren't a big part of my childhood.
Well, and the comedian Beck Hills put up a YouTube-y kind of documentary kind of what do you call them, like a video essay about the fact that the trolls that you see now don't resemble, because the trolls that I remember as a kid are like really ugly, weird looking things, whereas the trolls in the films are like, they're like cute faced bright pink or bright blue, whereas the trolls as a kid, a lot of them, the skin tone of the thing was like white skin. It was peach. And then the hair was colourful. But now they're like this weird thing that doesn't resemble at all what... And Beck Hill did a video essay to getting to the bottom of who owns the copyright of Trolls and why they look like this now.
Because
that's the kind of thing we do nowadays.
I'm into that. I'm going to watch that.
That sounds really good.
But yeah, I think in the films, the premise, based on the fact that I've seen the trailer for the second one, the premise is that they're like genre-based. They're like villages of trolls and they're musically genre-based. So you'd have like a country village, a hip-hop, like hip-hop troupe of trolls. Like they kind of, they segregate based on genre. And yeah, and the second one, the villain is a rock troll because, you know, that's what they do. And I saw this tweet from someone I know who I respect very much, but he did a tweet kind of a little bit about the fact that he thinks that he hates the way that rock is portrayed as evil in all of media.
Yeah.
But the problem is rock is, you know, metal is based on the devil and 666.
Yeah.
And the devil's, yes. We've made it that rock for our own back.
Yeah, well, there's no other music that's more evil, is there?
No.
if you had to pick one, you're going rock every time.
Yeah, and I guess that's purely metal, whereas you could say like psychedelic rock or kind of indie and all that stuff, they're not really taking
from. No, they're all devil worshippers, mate. Even if they don't sing about it. Just play a few of those Beatles songs backwards, mate, and you'll see.
So what we're saying is they come out of their parents' basements and they take to the streets. But they haven't realised that everyone else is isolating because they...
But they're like all different conspiracy theory fanboys.
Great.
And so it's like a battle of which one's the best. In the same way that Trolls World Tour, I assume, pits all of these musical genres against each other. And I imagine at the end of Trolls, they discover that all music's valid. And at the end of this, we'll learn that all conspiracy theories are equally valid.
Very nice.
And worthy.
I'd like a real... I think the thing is, what we've got... Here we go, because right now it's not a likable film. We're not enjoying this film at all. So what we have is our protagonist is one of the more like low stakes conspiracy theories. So not this 5G kind of stuff, not 9/11 was faked, not kind of Obama was born in Africa. We're talking flat earther. He's a flat earther, right?
Yeah, they're lovable. They're such lovable guys, the flat earthers.
So, and that's who we follow. And somehow the underdog of the flat earthers wins out over all of the genuinely horrible, evil, toxic trolls.
Perfect. Perfect.
Have you
seen that amazing documentary about flat earthers?
I have. It's wonderful. It's really, I think it's on Netflix. So if you've got an hour and a half to spare, which I think we all do.
who hasn't?
yeah, check it out. What about this one from Lizzie? The Invisible Can. A woman gets terrorized by a discarded Fanta can she didn't recycle.
Good. I thought it was going to be a toilet and just someone trying to wee into an invisible toilet.
Let's go down your route in a second because I think there's something in that. We'll put that one on hold.
Mm-hmm.
I think the interesting thing that Lizzie's done with this is the Invisible Man, there's a social commentary element, right? Mm-hmm. Of the remake. It's about believing people and particularly abuse within relationships. And this is a different type of social commentary. It's about guilt, but it's also about recycling. I think there's a lot to be said.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. That is good. I'm into that.
I'm trying to think how does a can terrorize? Is it like in the middle of the night, she hears like a tss?
That's good. That's good. I think even if it just kept appearing, you know how like Russian spies used to just go into people's houses and move like one thing to slowly drive them insane?
Did they?
If you threw away a Fanta can and then it appeared constantly in different parts of your house, you'd eventually completely lose the plot, right?
Yeah. And so she's telling people and they're thinking...
Your relationship would break down because you'd blame it on each other.
Yeah. That's good.
I think one Fanta can could actually be quite damaging.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you just, you know, you woke up in the morning and you walked into your living room and it was just a can was just in the middle of the floor. You'd be quite annoyed about it, wouldn't you? You probably wouldn't say anything the first time. And then the next day, if you came in and a can was there again, an empty Fanta can, you might say, what's this can doing here? But if like after 3 or 4 days, every day there was a discarded Fanta can, there'd be a resentment building, I think.
So are we saying this invisible can, like, it's, she picks it up, puts it in the bin, and then the next day it's back in the living room? She doesn't go to pick it up and it disappears. Oh, okay. So we actually have no evidence that this can is invisible. It's a perfectly visible can.
Yeah, it is, because it's moving around. No, it's moving around. Well, how does it get there?
I think the partner, in the end, it turns out it was just the partner driving the other partner insane.
The partner's just really lazy. Loves Fanta.
Oh, so it's a different can each time, and our protagonist has got it in their head that it's the same can every time, but it's actually he just went and bought a 72 pack.
Well, stock up.
Stock up. What about this one from Stu, friend of the show? Unopened gems. It's uncut gems, but with Al from Al's Toy Barn in Toy Story 2 as the main character. It's not a pun. It's just an idea I'm endlessly interested in.
Endlessly interested in. I mean, this is goatee based, right? This is because Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems and Al from Al's Toy Barn have got a goatee. There's no other reason for this to exist.
No, they're both like collectors and making money out of collectibles of sorts. So I think there's some truth in it. The thing that I thought was quite interesting, that, look, I don't want to discredit Stu, but I feel like he's gone with the it's Uncut Gems with Al, which is fine. But is he trading toys, and do the toys come to life when he's not in the room still?
I think, and bear with me on this because it's going to be pretty horrible, I think he's gouging out the toys' eyes and putting in gems to smuggle them, and the toys are coming to life with gouged out eyes and screaming in pain. So Al's just there. He's got a rack of toys.
Yeah.
And all these gems that he needs to get across the border.
Yeah.
And he just carves out every one of their eyes and shoves these gemstones in there. And then he leaves the room and they just all start screaming and screaming and screaming.
But the whole film plays out, the whole putting a bet on some sports, all of that happens. Mm-hmm. And it's just as the credits go, he just turns off the lights in the room and you just hear screaming for the whole credits. They haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. Loads of ashen-faced people just walking out of the cinema.
PG. Oh, dear.
Hey, what about this from Martin? So Martin just says, Bird Box was all about sight. A Quiet Place is all about sound. You can't make a sound.
Yep.
What about one for taste?
So, wait.
You can't taste the baddies. If you taste them, they'll find you.
How are these baddies getting into your mouth out of interest?
Well, that's a good question, and Martin's not elaborated, but I imagine they leave like Fanta cans lying around, and you have a little sip, and then the can turns into a big monster, and it gouges out your eyes and puts gemstones in there. No, I think they're like releasing pheromones into the air.
Okay, yeah.
All the time, and they're in the atmosphere, and you've just got to not catch it on your tongue.
Could it be... well, this is getting into, like, fog territory, though. Could it be, like, a coloured...
The film's called Bitter.
Bitter. I like it.
They taste really bitter.
So it's just in the air. So it's quite hard to bring tension out of, because people just live in their normal lives and then they just suddenly look shocked.
Yes.
Because they've just had that taste. It's
but
like...
people just trying not to taste. I don't know how you do that. Are people just cutting out their own tongues?
Because you could, to be fair, if you like breathing through your nose and just swallow through your mouth all the time. Yeah, but then when you go to eat some food, you're eating a chocolate eclair and it suddenly tastes like lemon and you think, oh, he's got me.
I'm a goner.
And it doesn't, for the record, you don't choke to death. It's not like poison. When you taste it.
A big monster comes to get you. Just like the other films. I assume they're part of some sort of sense-based monster universe.
Wait, so what's the final one? Touch?
Smell. It's also smell.
Smell would
which
be
is
good.
Equally as silly. What, a big monster just farting all the time? No, you can't fart. Because the monster can only detect farts.
That's good, that.
That is quite good, isn't it?
So it's the monsters fart. That... Yeah. Smell in this world, it's the monsters have really good smell.
Yeah. Obviously, mate. That's what it is in... Isn't that what it is with Quiet Place? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So they've just got really good sense of smell, and as soon as you do a fart, they're there. So that's, you have to do it. So you have to, like, hide it in a box or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Into a little jar.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a sequence where, like, one of the kids in the family accidentally knocks over all the fart jars.
And the family is on their knees retching, but they know that they need to get out of there.
The thing is, as well, if we're doing it so that the monsters are super sensitive, rather than it being if you taste the monsters,
yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
The monsters have a really good sense of taste.
Yeah,
maybe it's to do with, and they can taste it in the air in general. So it's a bit like if you over season your food. If you season your food too well, you have to eat the blandest food, and then someone puts a bit of salt on it, and then boom, monster
game over.
Us Brits would be fine.
We'd be laughing. Last people on earth. The other sense is touch, but it doesn't really make any sense because, I mean, if you just touch the monster, it's going to know you're there. Why would you do that? If there was a big monster and it didn't know you were there unless you touched it, you'd just let it be, wouldn't you?
I think so. I think I would...
That'd be the least successful of all of the ones.
They should have opened with that one. Why did they start with a touchy place? Or maybe it's a touchy place and he's just really sensitive. You can't be mean to the monster.
I like that. Right, hey, well done, Martin. That was really fun.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about this one from Chris? Avengers Bell End Game. Or Bell End Game.
Oh, that's a shame.
So yeah, I mean, this is Chris Glasson from Hardcore Listing. So, I mean, it's very much in his tone. The question that I have is, there's two ways we can go down this, and I'm happy to go down both routes. The first route is, obviously, they're just penises.
Okay.
And like...
obviously. I mean, I don't think most people had thought about that.
All right. So the other alternative is they're dickheads, which is a poor choice of words, because what I mean is they're bad people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure that you can get Avengers dildos, so we wouldn't have to go very far to work out what they would all look like as penises. Let me just hop to the internet to check. Avengers dildos. This is my work computer. sex toys inspired by the Avengers.
Well, a few of them have got helmets, haven't they?
Well, exactly. Oh, big green one. So there's one that's like Mjolnir, which is Thor's hammer. But it's, I mean, you're mostly using the handle.
I'd hope so.
Well, some people.
Yeah, some people.
The Iron Man inspired butt plug, very classy. The Hawkeye is an arrow. It's a big old arrow dildo. Now, in this universe, why would a bunch of superpowered dildos, what would their enemy be? The prudes.
It'd be the prudes. I don't really understand. I'm going to have to do the same Google as you, John, purely for research purposes.
Why did it autofill when you did it, John?
One of them is called the autofill, actually. Oh, dear.
Yeah, the big green Hulk. I mean, fair play, you know. It was going to be a massive dildo. Although you could have gone a bit of fun with that one and made it a really tiny dildo. We don't know. We just don't know.
And that's what all the aggression is making up for.
He is, yeah, he's toxic masculinity. He should have had a tiny dildo. Come on, guys. Yeah, the alternative is we do a version of Avengers where they're baddies. No, they're not baddies. They're just like bellends. They're just lazy. They just can't be arsed. They're just, you know, a bit of a dickhead. They're not full-on villains.
Yeah.
But again, are we just watching a film where the villain wins, or do they accidentally win despite being arseholes?
No, I think I'd like to see them lose.
Well, and to be fair, the more I think about this, if you haven't seen it, this isn't really a spoiler. The Boys, the TV show on Amazon Prime, is basically that conceit, is what if the Avengers were dickheads? So just watch The Boys.
The Boys is great. There you go. The Boys basically is Avengers Bell End Game.
What about this one from Jason? Cannon and Bull Run. Now,
yes.
I don't know much about Cannon and Bull. But I assume they're a comedy duo from like the 60s. So I assume putting them in a car-based caper isn't actually going to be too difficult. This one writes itself.
Yeah, I imagine that was probably pitched at a time.
Yeah, I don't know much about the comedy duo Cannonball, and I don't know much about the Cannonball Run, in all honesty.
What about Cannonball Holocaust? Is that better?
That's good.
Yeah.
Are they killing people?
Yeah, and eating them.
Interesting.
They're a lovable 60s comedy duo. They're killing people and eating their flesh.
And that's real. Because the thing about Cannonball Holocaust, wasn't it? They did it as, it was like a fake documentary way before the Blair Witch Project that kind of did that found footage thing. And it was so convincing, apparently, that they had to go to court and prove that the actors in the film were not actually dead. What about this one from Jake? Terminator Dark Fruits.
So when he turns to liquid, it's just like...
delicious.
Sugary cider. Delicious cider.
The Dark Fruits, I would say, for my money, is the best sweets. Like, if you're going for, like, you know, your fruit pastels or your kind of Smarties and stuff, in that world, it's always the dark fruit flavours that are the best, right? Nobody wants the citrus stuff.
You're wrong.
Are you a citrus boy?
Big time.
Oh.
Go open a packet of anything sweet-wise, I'm going straight for the greens.
Oh, that's great. Well, we could share a packet happily.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you ever get upset when you go for the green and it turns out it's apple?
Yeah. No one likes that, I don't think.
I don't mind an apple sweet, but yeah, I'm always expecting lime.
Because you've been trained to make no green means lime.
Green means lime. It's like it's like with crisps. Walkers, for some reason, has got it the wrong way around when it comes to cheese and onion and salt and vinegar.
Yeah, but didn't they change?
Have they? Are we all consistent now?
Didn't they used to be? No, didn't they used to be?
Walkers
and
used
to changed.
So
yeah.
Walkers is green for salt and vinegar and blue for cheese and onion, but everyone else is the other way around.
I think so. But I'm now looking to say that someone at Walkers said they never changed. This might be
This is our trolling.
This is it.
Our conspiracy theory is that Walkers used to have it the other way around.
So like, there's loads of you know these collective memory things.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's loads of people on the internet that remember Walkers crisp packets changing, but Walkers, like on their website, and a spokesperson said they've never done it.
They've had to put out a statement that people are like, no, it definitely was. They've had to put out a statement. That's so great.
Yeah, there you go. Well, they can't be trusted. Lineker cannot be trusted.
I've always said it.
Yep, we're moving on to our own ideas.
Listen up, sheeple.
mine's love, wedding, repeat, 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 repeat.
So did you watch it?
15, 20 minutes of it.
Oh, really? Is it?
It's absolutely dreadful.
Oh, no.
It's really, really, really bad.
That's a shame.
We thought it might be nice to have a nice, fun little rom-com to watch.
Definitely.
We just finished Succession and we're in need of some light relief. And it's got Tim Key in. Love Tim Key. It's got Aisling Bea in. Love Aisling Bea. And it's bad. It's really, 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 really bad.
And that's a shame, because actually the one thing that Netflix has done okay in films is their rom-coms. They've done some, like, they haven't got a great track record for films, but their rom-coms have been all right. So that's a real shame. What is the film called?
Love, Wedding, Repeat.
And so you've done the repeat, repeat, repeat. So what, are we torturing someone by making them watch it over and over again?
Exactly that, yeah. Oh, or maybe they have to live out a wedding, you know, infinite amount of times. So basically this guy is trying to get this girl at this wedding.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a bit like, what's that show called that I really loved? Russian Doll.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he has to, and you know, people find weddings quite uncomfortable and quite stressful, and he has to do it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, it's also...
until he nails every bit of small talk, every dance move, doesn't get soup on his shirt, you know?
Yeah, but it's a rom-com, so he'll do it one time like that and think, oh yeah, I've nailed it. And then he'll wake up again at the beginning of the day and it turns out that it's like Groundhog Day, that it actually he just had to be genuine. That was
yes.
How he lived the day.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Netflix, commission that.
Yeah. It's interesting because to Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise film, midway through got rebranded as Live, Die, Repeat. where he keeps doing the same day over again as like a military person. So maybe Tom Cruise as a military person attends a wedding over and over
again. That's good.
And kills everyone.
Hey, John, what's your one?
This one requires you to know of a relatively niche horror film title. It's I Spit on Your Gravy. So it's about warring pubs making Sunday roasts.
Excellent. Oh, man. What I would give.
For a pub Sunday roast.
Yeah. No, regardless of how much spittle was in it. Even if I could visibly see.
As it's like coming down.
Hacked up bit of gauze. Oh, I'd go for it.
Oh, that's really horrible. Yeah, I think Netflix could commission this as a lovely British comedy as well. Two warring pubs across the road from each other.
Yeah, of course they are.
Of course.
Trying to outdo each other with different deals.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're brothers as well. I didn't mention that. Both played by the same actor. Who would be good at that? Who's a good actor who could do twin brothers running a pub?
Danny Dyer.
Of course it's Danny Dyer. Danny Dyer plays Danny Dyer and Danny Dyer's brother. They both open pubs across the road from each other. They start off relatively enjoying the camaraderie of it all, and then it gets all a bit out of hand and it ends with Danny Dyer spitting in Danny Dyer's gravy.
Lovely. Perfect. In the end, they just they make friends. They combine to be a mega pub that has like a walkway over the road, like at some service stations.
Perfect. And it turns out, and at the end, they say, what's your name? And he goes, J.D. Weatherspoon.
One of them's James, one of them's David, and their surname's Weatherspoon.
Great.
Good stuff. Fuck Weatherspoons. Well done, John.
Thank you.
I hope you had a nice time.
Cheers. Do we pick a winner? We never pick a winner.
No, but the winner is the one about the farts that I made up. So I'm going to be thinking about that for ages. Well done, mate.
Should we chat after the music?
Yeah. Hey, it's the bit after the music. How you doing?
Yeah, all right. It's Big Easter Sunday. Did you manage to sneak an egg in whilst you were shopping when the popo weren't looking?
We've got a little egg. Don't worry about that. We got sent the eggs, I think. By Emma's mum.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you can't, now that you've admitted your girlfriend's mother sent them, you can't really review the eggs. You have to say they're perfect.
They're pretty fancy, actually.
Oh, go on.
So, well, they're Thorntons. So, you know, decent. It's a good class of egg.
Oh, I'm very happy with a Thornton's Easter egg.
Yeah. I think it's my first time, so I can't wait. Otherwise, just sort of slowly descending into madness.
Good. I've the last couple of days I've started doing the Joe Wicks kids PE lessons.
How many children have you got again, John?
Zero as of yet.
You know, you do know that Joe Wicks has got a special agreement with YouTube, and he can actually see you as well. You do know that, don't you?
That's why he's laughing
and,
so much.
And yeah, YouTube and the government are making a note of everyone doing it that hasn't got a child. So I don't know what that means or.
It is fucking
is
exhausting.
Yeah, of course.
I'm embarrassed by how exhausting I'm finding it. He dressed up as a frog yesterday, which was cute, on Friday. And I'll be honest with you, I am doing most of them, but then he will do ones that are specifically for kids. So he did one where it was called like the silly rabbit or something, where for 30 seconds you just had to dance. And I didn't do that one.
So you just stand there and watch Joe Wicks be a rabbit?
No,
like, that's better. Or do you just turn around away from the screen for 30 seconds?
Yeah, I just stand deadly still with my arms by my side, just looking at the screen for 30 seconds.
A dead blank stare. And the next instruction comes and you're all smiles and go for it. Great.
It's very normal. Like a robot that's depowered.
Oh, I'm not doing that stupid rabbit dance. I'll just watch Joe Wicks do it for 30 seconds.
Oh, well.
Get out, you lunatic.
You seen any good memes, mate? that's what we're at now.
There aren't any good ones anymore. It's just average stuff getting massive amounts of
agreed
engagement.
The thing that this week I've seen a lot of is that Choose Your Quarantine house, where they just put a bunch of people in numbered houses
and they say, I hate all that.
But it's the same as about 3 months ago. They were doing it, pick your table at school at the canteen. It's the same meme. They're just saying,
mate, I hate all of that. And do you know what I hate? It's like, you can only keep three of these fast food chains. And all that happens is all nine of them trend on Twitter, and you can't actually see anything else apart from...
The things that are trending on Twitter right now, and as well, then you go to click on it to see why it's trending, and it's just full of tweets from people saying, well, I don't know why this is trending.
How I don't know how Twitter's trending function has descended so far, because it's pure shite now, which is why we never let this podcast trend, because we don't want to be associated with such a bad algorithm.
We refuse to let it trend. It was Lilo and Stitch was trending this morning. I couldn't work out why.
It's probably like, which one do you want to shag? It's probably some meme.
It's
probably a Joe Wicks dance for you to stare blankly at.
The Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, have a nice week, I guess, mate.
Yeah, well done, mate. Stay sane.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.